Ghoulish greetings, everyone. The tunes are courtesy of Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from the mountaintops to the beach shore, from tiny village to large city, and everything in between. It is greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
Strongsville, Ohio, Torrance, California, Center, Colorado, Dorset, England, Morgantown, Pennsylvania, and Tripoli, Lebanon. Now, last week you heard all about the Black Monarch. Well, grab a pebble, pick it up, and toss it. That's how close the Victor Hotel is to the Black Monarch. Two haunted hotels just a couple hundred or so feet away from each other? I tell ya, Victor is the place to be. Now, the Victor Hotel, it was built in 1899, and it was completed the following year. Now, this historic hotel was actually built by Harry and Frank Woods. They're the founders of the town Victor itself, so that's pretty neat stuff, if I do say so myself. Now, the year construction begins, the town of Victor is badly damaged due to a huge fire. It destroys most of the business district. And then, just a few short years later, in 1904, another fire presents itself. And in its wake, it left behind several hundred without homes and possessions. And several people would sadly die. Now, it's around this time when this new, at the time, hotel would serve the community as a morgue and shelter for the people who lost everything. Now, when you're here, you are very close to 10,000 feet in elevation with beautiful views as you are in the Rocky Mountains, baby. Yes. Added to the United States National Register of Historic Places in 1980, the Victor Hotel is home not only to ghosts, more on that later, but also to a phenomenal and historic birdcage elevator. Historic because it is the oldest still operating birdcage elevator in the state of Colorado. Again, impressive shit. So if you come here, be sure to give that bad boy a spin. When Victor Hotel first started out, it served not only as a hotel, but also had a bank located on the ground floor that also called this building home. And it also served at times, as mentioned earlier, as a morgue. Did your ears perk up? I know mine did. Besides when tragedy struck, like the fires, of course, back in the day during the cold, ever so frigid winter months when the ground was, let's face it, frozen solid, and when people died and all the graves were already filled up, well, they had an area in the hotel that was reserved for the dead bodies, and this was on the fourth floor until they could be put in the ground, you know, in the summer and spring and summertime when the ground finally thawed. Well, this reminds me very much so of the Windsor Hotel in Colorado and Del Norte, as they had an ice house right behind their hotel and did the same thing, often getting large chunks of ice from the nearby Rio Grande River. Rio Grande, but we always call it Rio Grande River. And again, I had actually investigated that building, that ice house, that original ice house long ago, and we got some really cool evidence there. Like their haunted neighbor, the Black Monarch, the Victor Hotel also is not afraid to let it be known that, hey, we're a haunted establishment. To me, that's a huge plus. I'm traveling. I'm tired. I want to relax and hang out and explore. Should I stay at this boring, run-of-the-mill, beyond average, and ordinary, tiny hotel room that is pretty much uniformed all over the United States? Or should I stay at a unique establishment that is historic and haunted and sometimes makes me feel like I'm in a faraway land? No competition in my book. I'm not trying to poo-poo on hotels. I use them often, but it is really a neat, refreshing change when you find something that's different, that's unique and fun. Many, and I do mean many, strange things happen here at Victor Hotel. People experience electrical malfunction, especially investigators with equipment. And again, this is what I call annoying evidence. Very annoying. Meanwhile, guests have heard disembodied voices, almost like they are in the middle of a conversation, a discussion, when no one else is in the area, or voices coming from known vacant rooms. Apparitions, they have been seen roaming the fourth floor, which makes sense as this is where bodies were stored when needed for fires, other catastrophes, for the winter months, and what have you. In the area and wanting to stay in a haunted room? Well, look no further, my friends. Room 301 is the place to be. It is known as being Victor Hotel's most actively haunted room. One resident that called Room 301 home for some time was one of the many miners that called Victor home, a gentleman named Eddie. A legend has it that Eddie went to get on that birdcage, also known as the Otis elevator, and the elevator, it sadly was not there. He stepped on and he falls to his death. He is believed to haunt this hotel. HauntedRooms.com discusses some of the hauntings. Quote, "The spirits of these long dead Victor residents haunt the Victor Hotel today. Guests and staff members have witnessed full-bodied apparitions on the fourth floor, wandering throughout the hallway and rooms. More reports include sightings of both doctors and patients, sometimes appearing disfigured or missing limbs. On one occasion, a headless spirit was seen standing at the end of the hallway. In other areas of the hotel, people may experience disembodied footsteps, accompanied by unexplainable rushes of cold air." Unquote. HauntedPedia.com shares some interesting things as well when it comes to the unknown and paranormal activity that does take place here at the Victor Hotel. Quote, "The Victor Hotel earned its haunted reputation through decades of mysterious deaths, mining accidents, and tales of supernatural encounters reported by staff and visitors alike. Strange voices echo through empty hallways at night, while phantom footsteps climb stairs that creak under invisible weight." Wait. Okay, I'm done, I promise. "Room doors slam shut on their own. And guests frequently report feeling unseen hands touching them in the darkness. The overwhelming sense of being watched permeates every corner of this historic establishment, making it one of Colorado's most actively haunted locations. Paranormal investigators have documented compelling evidence within these walls, including unexplained temperature drops, electronic voice phenomena, and full-bodied apparitions captured on camera. The hotel's proximity to abandoned gold mines adds another layer to its supernatural mystique, as mining disasters claimed hundreds of lives in the surrounding area. Many believe traumatized spirits from Victor's dangerous mining era found refuge within the hotel's walls. The building serves as a portal between our world and whatever lies beyond." Unquote. And it makes sense, like people seeing these apparitions with missing limbs and, dare I say, the headless body, because, like mentioned, there were a lot of bad snafus that would take place in these mines, not just here in Victor, but as we learned in Dawson, New Mexico as well. And just basically wherever there's a mine, there's danger and very sad stuff. So sounds like several lost their lives that way. And perhaps they too, like this gentleman, Eddie, lived there at the Victor Hotel for some point or near that area and frequented the area. Who knows? Now, on the same site that I just read from, that being, of course, hauntedpedia.com, they talk more about odd happenings. And you know me, I absolutely adore and love odd happenings and makes me really want to come running to this place, for sure. Actually, last year, before I read more, last year, my friend Angie and I, she, were really good friends, and we went to Dawson together. Well, we were planning, along with my sister Casey, to go to Black Monarch and to Victor Hotel. Spend one night here and one night there. And I'm really hoping, we didn't get to do it last year, sadly, but I'm really hoping that this year we get to. I always have intentions on doing all these neat places, and then just time goes by and I have stuff to do and it just like totally consumes my time. But I'm really hoping this year that I make time for that, because I just need to take a chill pill and do some major investigating. So anyways, here it is, the odd happenings. Yes. Quote, physical manifestations rank among the hotel's most unsettling supernatural occurrences, with objects moving independently and doors operating without human intervention. Heavy furniture shifts position overnight in locked rooms, while picture frames repeatedly fall from walls despite being securely mounted. Guests place belongings on nightstands only to discover them relocated across the room by morning. The hotel's antique doors swing open and slam shut with tremendous force, even when windows remain closed and no drafts exist. Cold spots represent another common phenomenon reported throughout the building, with temperature drops to 20 to 30 degrees occurring instantaneously in specific locations. These frigid zones move through hallways and rooms, sometimes following guests as they attempt to escape the unnatural chill. And I must interrupt real quick. Unquote, I'm interrupting. It's insane because I've experienced cold spots. Really, I have. And it is pretty amazing. Like, there's times where it's super noticeable. I'm in the Arizona desert and it's hot as hell. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, that feels kind of good. But I've never experienced a 30 degree difference. That is like wild. Like, wow. Really, really want to experience that. That would be intense stuff right there. Anyways, moving back into it, quote, witnesses describe feeling as though they've stepped into a freezer, with their breath becoming visible despite warm ambient temperatures. The cold spots often precede more dramatic paranormal events, serving as harbinger impending supernatural encounters. Shadow figures prowl the hotel's corridors with disturbing frequency, appearing as dark human-shaped masses that move with purposeful intent. These entities typically manifest in peripheral vision before vanishing when observers turn to face them directly. Some witnesses report making eye contact with shadow figures that possess glowing red or yellow eyes that radiate malevolence. The shadows sometimes approach guests aggressively, backing them into corners or following them from room to room throughout their stay. Unquote. To me, it's like Victor Hotel has everything. I mean, I really didn't see anything about phantom smells, but people are hearing things. They are seeing things, including apparitions, doors closing by themselves. You have so much going on here that it's phenomenal. Cold spots, of course, major 20 to 30 degree difference in cold spots. And yes, it can turn physical. Sometimes you are touched. Sometimes you are being followed. It's very interesting. You just don't know what's going to happen. And that, to me, is very exciting, adventurous, awesome. I love it. And so, yeah, it makes me want to go more than ever. And of course, we have to stay in room 301. So we leave Victor, right? Say goodbye. Hope to see you soon. Bye-bye to the Black Monarch and the Victor Hotel. And we make our way to Colorado Springs. It's around an hour and 20-minute drive. Not too bad. Definitely doable for sure. Where we walk through the doors of the Broadmoor. Home to a relaxing sauna and jacuzzi, a beautiful golf course. Oh, yes, indeed. You have the adventurous water slides, multiple restaurants and lounges, 254 rooms, impressive views of, you guessed it, Pike's Peak. Oh, yeah, and ghosts. In the 1890s, a wealthy Prussian count named James Portelis comes to the United States with a dream. Make a name for himself here. And that he does. He builds a casino and it thrives. Really, it does. Until it sadly burns down a short time later in 1897. Now, that was the scary thing back then, was wood was easy to come by back then, so they built most of their buildings and structures and businesses with, you guessed it, wood. I'm the first to admit, I love wood structures. I do. I love little wood cabins. They're just so beautiful and quaint. And out here in Colorado, there's so many of these beautiful cabins that are just like perched right near the river. Whenever we would go rafting on the Rio Grande in Del Norte and South Fork areas, that's what you would see. You'd be on the river and mountains on one side and cabins scattered on the other. Or it was really like postcard views. Just absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. Makes me want to buy another raft and do it all over again because it's just so much fun. But these went up. You know, when a fire presented itself, these buildings would go up like no one's business and just very, very sad stuff. And so the count, he becomes friends with a very successful couple, a power couple, and later he partners up with them, Spencer Penrose and his wife, Julie. Some accounts name her as Julia, who actually built the hotel. And she would stay at the hotel in the penthouse when her husband was away at work. And some whispered that she was having an affair. Don't know if that was true or not. Who knows? One mysterious day in 1956, Julie/Julia, she vanishes. She is later discovered in a nearby forest, and she's naked. She's freezing. And really, she had no idea or memory of how she got there or if anybody else was involved. If she knew, she was playing dumb. And the Best Actress Award goes to... yes, Julia Penrose. She would die, sadly, a week later. It's believed by many that she does haunt the Broadmoor. Now, this is too wild, okay? The lake at Broadmoor had become filled to the brim with abandoned goldfish. People who got sick of their pet fishes would just go and dump them in the lake, and it soon became a major issue, a huge problem, which led the owners to go to extremes. Sea lions were brought over, believe it or not. From where or by who, I have no idea at all, but apparently there were complaints about the ever-so-loud lions of the sea, and so they went bye-bye. And they found a forever home at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo not too far away, and I really like that zoo. They have habitats that kind of replicate the wild for the animals and also have indoor enclosures when it gets real cold or hot. Neat place to check out if in the Colorado Springs area for sure. The Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. Check it out. Like the two hotels before, the Broadmoor is believed to be ever so haunted. Guests have seen full-bodied apparitions. They have captured photo evidence, including unexplainable lights floating about the lake. And at least one guest had stayed here and heard a disembodied woman's voice whispering their name. Things turn physical as some people have been dragged out of bed. Scary stuff for sure. Some have shared that they would be freezing, even though the room was set to a comfortable temperature. So again, we're getting those cold spots happening. Don't know if it's a 20 to 30 degree difference like the other, but it's obvious that it's like, wow, very noticeable. I am now really cold. And yeah, it's like 74 in here. What the hell? FrightFind.com talks more about the paranormal activity. Quote, hospitality staff at the Broadmoor notes that chief among activity in the hotel is the penthouse, the exact same one that Julie Penrose stayed in all those years. Lights turning on and off, deep cold spots, and objects moving on their own are the principal reports. Other times, guests who stay in the penthouse report being watched in their own rooms and feelings of dread. One guest reported having awoken in the night to have the covers peeled back and the feeling of someone dragging them by their foot out of bed. The staff notes that a woman in a period 1930s dress has been seen floating down the hallways and up the front staircases at night, which suggests that the ghost is indeed Julie Penrose. There have been cases of multiple spirits being seen in the penthouse floor area. Guess it must be more than Julie Penrose haunting the Broadmoor. The most conclusive ending is that spirits of the victims from the casino fire of 1897 somehow still inhabit the building and haunt it along with Julie Penrose. But despite the uneasiness, the penthouse is still quite available to stay in today, and the Broadmoor is quite successful, just as Count Portalis would have wanted. Unquote. And meanwhile, besthauntedhotels.com share some areas of the hotel that have activity and what to expect at those spots. Now, the penthouse and upper floor hallways, this is where Julie roams. People have experienced cold spots, flickering lights, the feeling like you are definitely not alone and you are being watched. And meanwhile, in the historic wings of the main part of the hotel, you may run into unexplainable sounds, which includes knocking and mysterious thumps, doors closing or moving all on their own, in the Cheyenne Lake Promenade and gardens, people have heard whispering. The lounge and bar, well, it's home to unexplainable footsteps. The stairwells and transitional areas are plagued with footsteps when no one is in sight. Mysterious echoes, and cold spots.
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others, they are all fantastic. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? Well, really, there's no need to fret, lose any sleep over. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms such as Deezer, Spotify, Blueberry, Downcast, CastBox, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Republic. You know what? Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks for stopping by, everybody, and
I will see you next week.